quite often during this season, we often celebrate with the words joy and peace. And we also hear expressions of Christ as the light of the world. Quite often, we live along the crossroads of life, fluctuating between receiving Christ as light and life, and at the same time compromising light as we decide to live by our own standards. This shift and tug between Christ and us can be dangerous for our spiritual walk. And if we're not careful, we can find ourselves lost within the shadows of darkness, without a foundation to stand upon. I am not certain that Thomas Edison had any idea of how his invention of the incandescent light bulb would change and revolutionize our spiritual lives. Light is readily available to us, and because our eyes are so fine-tuned to light, from time to time it may cause us to feel that what we consider darkness is only temporary. We discover the full effect of the absence of light, perhaps during a power outage, or when we are in the middle of the desert, or perhaps on a mountain in the middle of a moonless night. It is there where the darkness is so thick you cannot see more than a foot in front of you, no matter how hard you try. This type of experience, which might be rare for many of us, was common to the people living in the first century, where the only source of light was the sun by day and oil lamps by night. When the oil lamps were blown out, the darkness was piercing, and it is into this absence of light in which Jesus was born. The good news is that although born in darkness, Jesus came as a shining light to cast away darkness and to eliminate every billowing shadow in life. Within John's gospel today, we find Christ who came to bear witness to the true light which gives light to all humankind. John envisioned a world which existed in darkness, not just physical darkness, but spiritual darkness as well. And Jesus, the light of God, entered the world to shine brightly and brilliantly in order to overcome darkness which engulfed human life. And so John points out to us today who Jesus really is, light and life, and our spiritual source of illumination. The intertestamental period, which lasted for about 400 years, was the period between the Old and New Testaments. It was a very dark time for Jews, and they even believed that God had ceased to communicate with them. There were no prophets arriving to offer guidance or to even chastise them. And we all know what life can be like when someone doesn't care enough to point out our mistakes and offer a corrective plan of action. As a Jew living during this time, there was certainly reason for despair. Despair of God's abandonment, despair of oppression, despair of knowing your very own leaders were corrupt, and despair of leaders taking advantage of community members. Today, for us to truly understand and fully receive the light of Christ, we too must understand spiritual darkness. Darkness in the Gospel of John is not benign and harmless. It opposes light and seeks to keep humanity within its power. Walking through the dark spaces of life restricts our vision and produces blurred lines and an inaccurate view of what our faith walk should be. Darkness causes us to live in those between spaces where we believe and we think we know who we are in the world, in our jobs, in our church, and even in the eyesight of God. The blinders of darkness can cause us to misinterpret situations and cause us to often not demonstrate who we really are in the world. It is within the light where we sometimes experience what my grandmother would call a come-to-Jesus moment, to ensure we realize the power we easily yield to darkness and how it can cause us to lie in comfort, shielding us from the true spirit of light and love. John's gospel invites us today to move closer and freely toward light, because it is there where we will find a God who wants to shine boldly and brilliantly into every crevice and into every dark space of our lives. Within the light, we find a God who is an expert navigator of darkness and is able to shine light wherever darkness attempts to reside. It is within the light where we will find a God who wants to free us from the snarls and snares of those sensitive places which we don't easily admit or release for healing and wholeness. And it is within the dark spaces of light, of life, in which God understands that even the thought of illumination may make us a bit uncomfortable. It is the very place where God wants to be. And more importantly, it is the very place where God's best work is accomplished. It is within this place where illumination into the shadows of life become consecrated spaces. It is where light meets darkness and light prevails. Helen Keller once told of that moment when Anne Sullivan first broke through her dark, silent world with the illumination of language. She says, "Someone was drawing water and my teacher placed my hand under the spout. As the cool stream gushed over one hand, she spelled into the other hand the word water. I knew that W-A-T-E-R meant that wonderful, cool something that was flowing over my hand. That living word," says Helen, "awakened my soul, gave it light, hope, joy, and set it free." The moment Helen Keller described was the moment when her world of darkness was shattered with the light of language. Although she was the same person physically, her life was transformed and her spirit enlightened. She then had not only a way to see, but to also understand. And this is the very same offering that the light of Christ provides for those who are in spiritual darkness. It awakens us from the drunkenness of the world. It revives and transforms us into reflections of the light. And like Helen, it helps us to see and to understand. When we invite the light of Christ into the cracks and crevices of our deepest fears and challenges, we embark upon a journey of witnessing where we live fully exposed and bare to God. My sisters and brothers in Christ, God wants us to know that dark spaces are not conducive to nurturing truth, but light. Light exposes the imperfections of life. It creates trust, confidence, and a new vision of hope for our brightest tomorrows. I believe John's message for us today is that God's Son, the one true light, has invaded the world, and we have a choice on where we will stand. Those who choose to live in darkness may respond with disbelief and avoid the light by any means necessary. But those who embrace the light sparkle like stars and become witnesses who have experienced the good and bad seasons of life. They are witnesses who do not mind opening themselves up to a better way of living and being in the world. They are witnesses who realize being disciples of the light may cost us something: our pride, our reputation, and sometimes our convenient lifestyles. But if we are to truly be the light of the world, a city on a hill, we must also be witnesses who know in our hearts that our light cannot remain hidden, but must also be shared throughout our communities. in the midst of darkness and evil. We are called to shine forth truth, to shine forth love, and to shine forth justice. In the midst of darkness, we must decide how we are to use our individual light in order to illuminate the darkness of the world. Light is truly a gift from God, and it is an expression of God's grace to the world. As John came to be a witness to the light, we are to do likewise, because this is who we are. This is who we each were created to be. And today, more than ever, the world needs our light to shine brightly than ever before. Darkness may seem to be a safe place to hide from our fears, but light is truly revealing and rewarding. We each have a choice. May we choose light, and may we each work to shine as the magnificent stars God created us to be. And may we all go forth into the world and shine, shine, shine. Amen.